Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at waaf.com.
Josh Wolf is at Laugh Boston tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, but he's in the studio right now with us. And a texter wants me to ask you about Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
You guys are tight?
Yeah, he. I've known him since before my kids were born. And he used to babysit my kids. So my daughter, so they called him Uncle Joey. I think that's where that all started.
Oh.
And my daughter, I came home. What would happen is I was a single dad at the time. And so I would go and do an early set. And he would watch my kids, and then he would go out for the night. And because I couldn't afford a babysitter, and he worked for Turkey Burgers. So
so does Greg.
So I came home one time, and he doesn't wear underwear. And he was picking up toys around my living room. And he bent over to pick up toys, and my daughter, who was probably 5 or 6, ripped some hair out of his ass crack.
Oh.
And she goes, how many? And he goes, oh, it felt like 5 that time. And I was like, that time?
That time?
Oh, no.
What?
And he goes, yeah. He goes, she loves that game. And I go, yeah, but I hate it. I hate that.
Yeah.
There's a board games in the corner. Don't you? He goes, nah, they don't want to play that. I go, yeah, but you're going to have to start playing that one. I don't like the how many hairs did you pull out of my ass crack game. He also used to mess up sayings. One of my favorite things, and he's one of my best friends, but, you know, he would mess up sayings. So he was like, we were in the house one day, and he's around the kids, and he was like, yeah, you know, she's got a memory like a hawk. And I was like, I don't think that's right. I don't think it's memory like a hawk. I think it's eyesight. He goes, no, dog, it's a memory. I go, I don't think so. And he goes, Josh, and he always calls me by my first and last name, Josh Wolf. Hawk leaves a tree every morning, flies around a forest. All those trees look the same, finds its way back to the same tree. That's a pretty good memory. And I was like, yeah, I can't argue with that. Yeah, yeah.
It's logic. It's logic.
Yeah, I was like, that actually makes more sense than I thought it was going to.
It's logic. So what do you think? You love your Red Sox.
Love.
In fact, last time you were here, I think it was because you were doing the David Ortiz roast.
I had set up and organized that roast. That was one of the most fun I've ever had in my entire life.
What do you make of their chances in this ALCS?
I think their chances are way better with Cora than with that last Yahoo. We don't even mention his name. He's like Voldemort. We don't even talk about that guy. I like that Cora thinks outside the box a little bit, and I think you're going to need to think outside the box to beat the Astros. I think the Astros are built for the playoffs.
Really?
I think they've
got... And the Red Sox aren't?
I think the Red Sox are a great team. I think they're going up against a team. Look, when you go Verlander, and guys, I know people are going to, I feel like I'm an honest sports fan.
Yeah. No,
I'm going to root for the Sox
100%. You have to be honest, yeah.
But I think when you're going up against Verlander, Cole, Keuchel, and you got that bullpen, and that lineup is, look, if it's not as good as the Sox, and I'm not sure it is, it's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty close. And they got guys just like the Sox do who don't shrink away in the playoffs. I mean, Bregman and Altuve and what's Springer and Correa, those guys aren't shrinking because of the big stage. So they're not going to be scared to play here, you know? So I think it is going to be a great series. But I'm sure the Astros are favored. And if I was a betting man, I would, if I had like a gun to my head, I would bet money on the Astros, but
you would?
Gun to my head?
Yeah.
Gun to my head, who's going to win? And I had money on it? Of course. You got to go with what you think is like honest truth, but I would maybe kidnap 3 of the Astros just to make sure it didn't happen. Like if someone called me with a good
Celtic pride,
if someone called me with a good plan tonight, if someone called me with a good plan tonight and was like, I know where Springer and Altuve are staying, I'd be like, well, let's go do this. You know what I mean? I'm willing to do a couple of years in jail for that next ring. Who is with me? You know, there's a couple people listening to this right now. Like I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, you tell me honestly, when
you're asking
on
the wrong guy. Oh. So I'm Captain Bandwagon on the Sox. I think the pitching is suspect.
Yes.
And once you get past Sale, you don't know what you're going
to. So then when you're
you don't know what you're
when you're
get
bandwagoning, are you bandwagoning with your heart or your head?
I'm bandwagoning because I really don't have anything to do Saturday night, so yeah. I'm just going to go to the game. With my heart, I'd like to see them win. It's different for me. I'm a football fan. That's my number one sport. Hockey is second for me. So it's different for me because I always believe that Belichick and
me
Brady
too
are going to find a
me
way
too
to win. In me the too end, they're going to find a way to win.
I think the Patriots beat the Chiefs. Yeah. I do. I think the Patriots beat the
Chiefs.
I do
too.
But my thing is this. Like even in 2013 when the Red Sox were playing the Tigers in that series, I went into that series and if you looked at those teams on paper, and I told my brothers, I'm like, oh, the Tigers are a better team. But sometimes baseball is unlike any other sport where you just have to get hot at the right time. In football, I guess, too, maybe a little bit. But in basketball, up until the semifinals or the finals, you basically know who's winning every series. In baseball, that's not the case. You can catch – the Sox lineup could catch fire, and it could be over in four games. Look, in 2004, the Rockies swept – the championship series. It was the hottest team in baseball. Mm-hmm. It just changed when they went to the World Series.
Yeah.
So on paper, I think the Astros are a better team. Could the Red Sox win? Of course. Am I pulling for them? Of course.
Yeah.
Would I kidnap a couple of the Astros players to see if that happened?
Of course.
Of course I would.
Of course
I'm
would
not. That, there's no loyalty issues. It's just if you were asking me, gun to my head, who wins, I would. And I had to bet all my money. I would have to bet on the Astros.
He's a real Sox fan, just like I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? I love the Red Sox, but they'll break your heart every time. They will. They'll stomp all over your heart every time.
Were you expecting them to lose in Yankee Stadium? Were you expecting them to? See, I'm past that, and my kids are past that. Like, we grew up in a time where you were expecting them to lose.
Every August.
You were expecting. Yep. My son thinks Boston is the sports capital of the world. And I'm like, you have no idea we all went through.
There's a whole generation who thinks that the Patriots are competitive every year and always have been. And they don't realize
the pain
that there were years of horror.
Yeah. There's going to be a generation of kids who think the Celtics never lose. Well, you missed the last 20 years. You know what I mean? But now here's another thing. I'm a total homer. I think the only team in the league that's got a shot to beat the Warriors are the Celtics. I don't think there's even close. I would even say going into that series, if you combine hunger, I think Stevens is the best coach in the league. And depth, I might bet on the Celtics over the Warriors.
When you're back home in LA?
Yeah,
is everybody all excited about Bron?
Oh my god! But LA is the biggest fair weather fans. It's the biggest. If they're not dominating, well, maybe his first year they'll sell out. But there's other things to do in LA. And as soon as your team is a little bad, like Dodger Stadium can seem like a morgue. It's 55,000 people. And when they're terrible, there are not a lot of Doyer fans out there. I will tell you what. Yeah. It is empty.
Yeah.
But so it's the same thing. But they're dying to see Bron. I hate the Lakers with a strong, burning passion. So I can't wait for the Celtics to come out this year. I'm going to go to that game and just have my green on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm obnoxious. I'm not obnoxious as a Boston fan anywhere else except in LA. For whatever, when the Red Sox played the Dodgers, I went full mass hole. Hat. I had my Tom Brady socks on, guys. Tom Brady, because I would roll them up and I was like, Tom Brady. I went full. So when I go to games in LA as a Boston fan, I'm asshole. I represent.
You have to.
I don't have to here in Boston because there's plenty of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in L.A., I really feel like it's time to let you know why everyone hates us.
Well, yeah,
that's right. Why we're not like that much. I'm going to give you a full taste of that.
What are you working on?
Man, I have a special out right now that is available on my website for $5. After I went through all the offers that I was getting from places and some notes that I was getting, I was like, why? And then if you don't own it, you're giving your money to a bunch of rich people. So I was like, I'm just going to own this, and I'm going to sell it for $5 on my website. No politics, no social issues, none of that. If you like storytelling, I'm so proud of the special. It's called Father of the Year, and it's basically the premise of the whole special is that, you know, my son hit that age where every man hits, where they look at their dad and they think, oh, I could beat this guy up for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I could, oh, and yeah. It's the story of the two-week period that led up to him and I in the front yard wrestling. And it's my
wrestling or fighting.
Well, he was like, let's fight. But I was like, we're going to wrestle.
Was it like angry or
what? He was angry.
He was. Okay. Yeah. And so he wanted to fight you.
He was angry because he was a teenage boy.
Yeah.
And they're just angry.
Yeah.
And but, you know, he thought he could win. And what he didn't realize that he was still kind of playing around. And did you either one of you wrestle your dad?
I don't.
Well, if you had, you know, there's a point in time where your dad stops messing around. Where he wants to show you, hey, there's one king in this house.
Yeah.
You want the crown, you better come take it.
Yeah.
And I remember that. I remember thinking to myself, well, my dad's taking this way more seriously than I am. You know what I mean? Because he knows, your dad knows that if he loses, there is a power shift at the house that he's not ready for. Because if you try telling somebody who just beat you up to take out the trash, he's going to be like, yeah, don't make me. You're going to have to take out the trash or I'm going to beat you up again.
Yeah.
So you need to know.
Like, before Bree set it off to college when he was in high school, I won a arm wrestling match. And it was a big victory. And now, listen, I have small, I'm ridiculed for my small hands.
Yeah.
And very little upper body strength.
But I was able to win
that. Wow.
And I ignore her. Just ignore her.
Oh, okay.
But I was happy that I won. It's an important moment.
It's the most important moment because you still got it. You know you're not gonna have it for much longer.
Right.
But you still got it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you know what I was really hoping when I won the wrestling match with my son, what I was really hoping was that it would excite my wife.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, oh, we're having sex tonight and some of that crazy before kid sex. But instead she looked at me like
Airbnb sex.
Yeah, like hotel sex. You know what I mean? Like hotel sex, like the difference between hotel sex and sex, like if you talk to your wife, you're like, hey, you want to have sex? Nah. And you know, I just ate some potatoes. Like with your vagina? Like why? We can't. But you get to the hotel and she's like, punch me in the face! And you're like, what? Why? That's a completely different person. Hotel sex is so different. And then you get to wipe your junk on the curtains. Like, you can do whatever you want. I hope you don't touch the curtains at hotel rooms, everybody.
You shouldn't touch
Don't blacklight those curtains.
Don't touch
There's
anything.
A whole underground society of dudes that wipe their junks on curtains.
Really? I have no idea.
Oh, you bet.
Like any kind of a specific chain or, like, I mean, it's all the way up to the Ritz?
Ritz more than the...
The Ritz more than
because La Quinta, it's probably scratchy.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
You don't have the nice curtains at La Quinta.
There's probably some fiberglass on there. Like, you don't want any of that action. But right. You go to the Ritz, it's going to feel nice.
Yeah.
And let me just say one thing before I get a million angry tweets. I am 100% pulling for the Red Sox.
You
asked me gun to my head if I was betting money. Yeah, because I'm also a degenerate gambler. So, and one of the reasons I don't bet on the Red Sox and I don't play fantasy football, because if I play fantasy football, there's a chance that I would have to put somebody on my team that was playing against the Patriots at some point in time. And I can't root for them. That's why I couldn't play fantasy baseball because there's no way I'm drafting a Yankee. And then I would have to root for a Yankee. So I'm as diehard as you go with Boston sports. But if you're asking me about my money, That's why I don't bet Red Sox or Patriots, because I don't want to ever put myself in a position where I have to pull against them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, listen, it's going to be exciting.
It's going to be a good
series. It's going to be a great series. Two great teams. Yeah. If David Price pitches well, then I could change my entire. But unfortunately for him, and I love David Price, and I think it's terrible the amount of crap he gets here.
What?
I do, man.
What are you talking about?
I think it's terrible for this reason. Nobody wants it more than him.
He's a head case.
I know.
He started off arrival.
Yes.
By whining about the fans and whining about the media.
I know. And it was a bad first step for him. But he's a good dude. And I think if
he berated Dennis Eckersley.
I know.
The great Eck.
I know. He's made some missteps here in Boston. Yeah. There's no doubt he's made some missteps. I'm just telling you, he's a good guy. And I think he just needs this one series. And he's in his own head.
Yeah.
But look, you know, there's no questioning his stuff. He just needs this. It's like as bad as it was for A-Rod, and I was hoping he would go over his lifetime in the playoffs. He just needed that one game in that one run to the World Series to lift the cloud. And then he was the best player on that team. So Price,
how many
just
of those
one game
opportunities do we have to give David Price until he gets that one game?
Unfortunately, Yankee Stadium is not the best place for him.
No.
Yeah.
No. But they get in his
Fenway
head.
Fenway is. And I'm telling you guys, game two. If he comes through in game two, because I think Sale is lights out. If he comes through in game two, it is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Because he's going to come through in game six.
All right. Well, it's great to see you.
I mean, always good to see you.
Thank you for coming by.
You going to come to any shows this weekend?
I went Friday.
Friday, Saturday.
Maybe
I'll
come tonight.
Why don't you?
Maybe I will.
Now, just so you know, the first show is going to be tight. And the second show, I'll probably get a little high and it'll be a loose.
Just a little.
How does one get a little high?
Because I'm no quitter.
Oh, it's okay.
You know, but I'll eat an edible on stage.
Oh.
So everybody can kind of see it.
Oh.
And so you can see the transformation. Nice. It's a lot of fun for me to feel it and then watch people's faces. So my late shows, I get a little high. If you want to see the set in an hour of just tight material,
yeah,
if you want to see it a little looser, Friday and Saturday late shows, get a little loose.
You know, we live in an interesting time in this country where one can say, come to my early show because that's the good one.
Yeah. Not the good
second
one.
Show, no, I'll be high.
That's the tight one.
Come before I get high.
There's a huge, not good. They're both, and I've been known on the high shows to do an hour of completely different material. So sometimes
you don't know what it is, but you've been known to do it.
Well, no, I remember it. But you know what's funny? Sometimes I have gotten so high on stage where, and I can still perform because I've done it a couple times. But sometimes, you ever been so high, you get so high, you can't hear anymore? Does anyone smoke weed?
Yeah.
Where everybody's voices sound like this?
Yeah, it's all like, mm-hmm. We're talking behind her.
Yeah, and you're like, I smoked myself deaf. You know what I mean? I'm so high, I can't hear anymore. Like that. Like sometimes that's happened on stage. So my own voice sounds like, and it freaks me out a little bit. And I asked once, I'm like, hey, my voice sounds regular, right? And people were like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, good, just checking.
All right,
because
to
me it doesn't.
Just checking. All right, we'll get to the second show. And then you get your tickets at laughboston.com. That's laughboston.com. All right, we'll see you. Go Sox.
Go Sox. We'll be giving updates during the show if you guys want to come.
All right, we'll be... You can win tickets for game two of the ALCS if you're listening to Maddie and Nick this afternoon during the 5 o'clock hour.
Woo-hoo.
So tickets to see the Sox and the Astros. It is the ALCS at Fenway, and you could be there if you're listening during the 5 o'clock hour. Today's weather brought to you by Nissan Intelligent Mobility. And it is eventually going to get sunny. The sun may actually come out this afternoon. Temperature is going to be 63 for a high. Tonight, some areas it is
areas
it is going to get down into the 30s.
Woo!
Burr. And then tomorrow it's kind of going to be rainy, and Sunday looks like it's going to be a great day for the Pats game and for game two of the ALCS.
Yeah.
Let's see here. You want to get to the rest of today's news?
Sure.
And the news this hour brought to you by...
Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4KIDS. Brought to you also by the CWCB Expo. The marijuana business is booming in Boston. Help grow the billion-dollar industry at the CWCB Expo at the Heinz Convention Center. Visit cannabismeansbusiness.com.
Speaking of that, in a little bit before we go, we are going to have the organizer of the Cannabis World Congress Business Expo on the show.
Nice.
A texter said that it was awkward when I was discussing marijuana with Josh Wolf.
Well, that's obviously from the incarceration.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. He doesn't like to talk about it. Yeah.
That texter was trying to indicate that I somehow don't have some kind of a knowledge of the ganja.
The street cred.
The street cred. Of course, I was arrested as a 18-year-old.
Yeah.
So I did a little time in the Clinton jail.
Yeah.
A little time.
Like
a little,
45
very little.
Minutes till I got bailed out.
Ooh.
Continued my sentence. Continued without a finding.
Seal it. That person, seal those records.
That person obviously has no idea who they're dealing with.
That's right.
All right. What do you want to talk about news-wise, Danielle?
One of your favorite bro trips may be in jeopardy.
What?
Cisco Brewers has sold for $23 million.
Yes. I saw this news.
Did you not have a heads up about it?
Maybe
I'm
I did.
Shocked.
Maybe I did, but they're going to remain. The brewery is going to remain on Nantucket,
yes.
and they're going to. Everything will be the same.
Mm-hmm.
It better be. They make great beers.
They do. Yeah. What do you like? The Whale's Tail.
Whale's Tail's great. My favorite is, and I hate saying this because then I get a load of crap about it, but the Gray Lady.
You love the Gray Lady.
I love the Gray Lady. There you go.
You.
Have fun with that, folks.
Yep.
It's Friday.
The Gray Lady is right up your alley, Shu.
Mm-hmm. It's delicious, though.
It's a pretty good. That's a good. But they've been there for a long time. They were early on in the craft game. Mm-hmm. Cisco was doing what they were doing over on Nantucket.
They were founded in 1995.
1995.
Yes, the year I graduated high school.
All right. What else is in the news today?
So there's a case of potato chip rage.
Oh, really?
In South Carolina. One man is accused of shooting his teenage cousin over a bag of salt and vinegar potato chips. Do you like the salt and vinegar?
Not a fan.
No?
No.
They too much for you?
I prefer the cheddar, sour cream, and onion.
Mm.
And I'm also not really a fan of barbecue chips.
Really?
No.
Come on.
I like the honey barbecue. Wise makes a nice honey barbecue chip. Yeah. I like the ketchup chips. Those are my favorite.
Utz makes a good barbecue.
Nice. So Ryan Dean Langdale, 19 years old, charged with attempted murder. He had called police and said there was an accidental shooting, told deputies his cousin shot himself while cleaning a hunting rifle. The victim confirmed this story before being rushed into surgery. However, as investigators started to look into the story a little bit more, it didn't match the evidence. So what they found was the two guys got into an argument. Langdale reportedly said to his cousin, "Do not touch my chips or I'll shoot you," while his rifle. And then the victim said the next thing he knew, the rifle went off. Now, Langdale reportedly urged the victim not to tell sheriff's deputies what really happened. The victim insisted he did not eat the chips.
Oh, okay.
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 Yeah. Do we have any confirmation on, like, who got the bag, the leftover bag? Is it in the evidence?
Yeah, what about the rest of the chips?
It may have been lost from the evidence locker.
All right. Okay. By the way, a texter is reporting that they ran into you recently, Shu, and they asked you how the Gray Lady tasted, and you said depends. Is that true? What, Danielle?
You people.
That was great. I love you. I'm sorry, but that was freaking great.
People are horrible. You're horrible, horrible people.
What is that?
All right. That's a texter says, unlike Kanye and his 000 password, Gray Lady is Shoe's password.
Come on.
And it's not the beer.
No.
And it's not the beer.
It's obviously AARP.
Let's see. This is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, do you know when you're talking to an old woman and you're like, her perfume is so strong you can taste it? That's what Gray Lady tastes like.
Just stop it.
You know.
Oh, my
God. All right, what else is going on today, Danielle?
There's an irrational fear in the news, the trash geyser at Yellowstone.
What?
Yes.
Trash geyser?
Trash geyser. The Yellowstone's ear spring began to erupt. Hadn't done that for decades. It's a natural wonder. People were very excited about it. However, spewing 30 feet up into the air were all sorts of man-made debris, including a cement block, cans, dozens of coins, and a baby's pacifier, many of the items dating back to the 1930s. Rebecca Rowland is a supervisory park ranger at Yellowstone National Park.
You might think that if you toss something in a hot spring or in a geyser, that it kind of disappears, but it doesn't disappear. It stays in that. And what normally happens is you can actually plug up a feature and kill the feature. And that's happened in many places in the park.
Oh my
can you believe
God.
It? I mean, just there it is. You're trying to take pictures with your family in front of the damn geyser, and then... Yeah. Cement block to the head.
Cans, coins.
Anvil.
So people were throwing stuff in the hot. That's why they're throwing it in the hot springs.
Yeah, thinking it's going to dissolve.
What else came up? The Kennedy assassination evidence.
Oh, God.
Hillary's emails.
Her server.
You know? D.B. Cooper.
Oh. I think they did. They solved the D.B. Cooper thing, didn't they? Did I just see that the other day that they think that they really they completely have solved it? Or was I?
I think a few months ago they thought they actually found him.
Yeah, because we talked about that.
Yeah,
right?
No, but there was some news about it the other day.
Huh.
Maybe the FBI went back to it after they were done checking out Justice Kavanaugh.
They were able to go
back to the D.B. Cooper case.
No, Kavanaugh is D.B.
Oh,
Cooper.
Oh, Kavanaugh
right.
is. Oh,
yeah.
oh, BK. It was
BK
DB,
is D.B.
Was as a young man.
Yes.
He was jumping out of airplanes.
Right.
Laces out.
After hijacking them. Yes.
That's why nobody would talk, because he used the money to pay them all off.
Have you seen the... the news anchor in California who asked an unfortunate question of a Canadian guest, and now they're talking about how this woman maybe should not have been able to get through the journalism school at Columbia or wherever she went.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Or? I haven't.
Okay.
No.
This woman is the host of Good Day LA on the Fox network out there in LA, the local Fox station. You know how they have the morning shows on
obscure reference.
Yes.
Good Day Melbourne. From The Leftovers.
Yes, from The Leftovers. Yes. And so anyway, she was interviewing this Canadian pop music act.
Yes.
And talking with the guy, the band is called NCT 127.
Okay.
Is the name of the band. And she was asking the band member, Mark Lee, if he was from Canada. And then what she said afterwards is leading some to believe that maybe she should not be quite at the level that she is journalism-wise.
Oh, God.
So here it is.
And you're from Canada?
Vancouver, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Your English is awesome.
Your English is awesome. Thanks.
Look, we work with a guy who has geography problems.
Okay, but I think somebody says they're from Vancouver and you go, your English is awesome. I mean,
guy that's fronting a Korean pop band from Vancouver, and then you say that? Come on. Come on, dude.
Oh, my God.
Oh, people are unbelievable. Maybe she was just doing continuing coverage and ran out of things to say. You know, these poor news people. And we're back now with the live shot. So what can you tell me about what you see behind you? Well, as you can see, the National Grid trucks have pulled up. We are waiting for a statement from the mayor. Right now, all we know is nothing.
Right.
They have to stand up, these poor people. Like, you know, it's just the same thing over and over again. I love you, my news people. I love you.
You speak English,
You speak, your English is amazing, Where are you from, America? Oh, no, but like, where are you from? I was born here in America. No, but like, where's your family from?
Oh, yeah.
America.
Yep.
As long as we're talking about Canadian things, what do you think of the story today about the grandma? Easy.
Okay. Hey, you know, really?
The Canadian grandma who says that she was booted off of the plane because she tried to give some garbage to one of the flight attendants, and the flight attendant said, I don't take garbage.
So what else are you doing walking up and down the aisle with the big bag?
Right.
And then she tried to put it in the beverage cart. The flight attendant, she says that the flight attendant told her, it was a guy, I'm a flight attendant, I don't do garbage.
All right. Well.
And then she tried, when the cart came down the aisle, she tried to put the trash on top of it, but the guy hit her hand away from the beverage cart, the trash cart or whatever.
Like Melania smacks Trump's hand.
So then they went and flight attendant went to the pilot and they turned the flight around.
What?
And kicked her off of it.
Stop it.
She says, yeah.
You got to be kidding.
Her name is Ellen Fleming, and this is what she says happened.
When the flight attendant came down the aisle, I asked him if he could remove that garbage because it was wet, and I just wanted to put my water bottle in. And he just stood up tall and said, I'm a flight attendant, I don't do garbage. And then the pilot came on and he says, we're going back to Toronto.
Going back to Toronto, eh?
No, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's another side of the story.
I'm sure there is.
Know,
there are three sides, his side, her side, and the truth.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Don't they usually take any? I mean,
That's why they push the thing down.
Well,
there.
That's why they're there, though, is to assist you. Right?
I'm here to assist you, not be your slave. Let's see, we have robot flight attendants. They would never do that to you.
No, you're probably right.
They probably wouldn't slam your knee and your elbow
with
the beverage cart either.
That's a good point.
Well, see, that's actually a pretty good job for a robot because they'd survive any kind of an air accident or anything like that. The
time for me to assess the damage.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Did you really have to turn the plane around?
It seems like an extreme reaction. It really does. This is Chris on the Framingham Ford studio line. What's going on, Chris?
Chris. Greg, what's going on? It's Chris.
What's happening?
It's on the Rose Savage.
Oh, hey. Oh. What's up, Rose Savage?
Oh, listen.
How's your watch?
I mentioned yesterday that you were the auction winner to the tune of $18,000 at the Wine, Watches, and Wheels event the other night. And I thanked you profusely yesterday on the show.
Yeah, you did. I heard it.
How do you like your watch?
I don't have it yet. It didn't. They tried to put it on and it wouldn't fit.
Oh, because
my hands are too big.
You're just saying that to piss off Greg.
You're just rubbing that in my face.
No, I'm not. Honestly, and so it has to go in for it. They want to add a link to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I was thinking of you. I'm thinking they must have took a link out of yours. So I was wondering if I could have that link because they said it would take like 2 to 3 weeks.
I don't have to worry about watches, but I do have to have an extra hole added to my belt from time to time at the end. Does that count? Listen, that was really generous. And I think I got to tell you something. I think my coworker here missed the boat a little bit. When you were coming around, I don't know what happened.
No, that's okay. That's good. She's doing good.
Yes.
No, you know, the reason why I did it, when I went to that seaport and I saw that, I can't think of his name. He was there that night too. And
Mark
he spoke real quick.
Mark Fucarel, the marathon survivor.
Yeah. And you know, when you hear his story and you look at that guy and you would say, how much would he give to have his leg back?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean,
no amount of money, you know, for that. So, and that's sort of how I looked at it. My intentions were when I went there that I was going to get that watch. I was going to buy it. I was actually going to buy all the tickets. I thought about doing it that way first. Buy the 75 tickets at $250, and I was going to give them all away, and then I'd be guaranteed to get that watch. I would just fill out 75 raffle tickets, and then I'd get that watch, and I would get the and then no one else would be bidding against me on that one. But
think about this: you outbid Ernie Bach Jr. for the Rolex. Ooh. So that's
And let me tell you something: what a great guy! That guy walked around, and if you even made eye contact with that guy, he would come out. He came up to you and talked to you.
Yeah. Oh, Ernie's fantastic.
Just a real great guy.
Yeah.
So
it was great. All right, Rose Savage. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great. So
There's Rose Savage.
Have a good weekend, Chris.
And I believe that well over $40,000 was raised by you for the Greg Hill Foundation Wednesday night at Wine, Watches, and Wheels.
And One Percenters. Nice job, everybody.
Wine, Watches, and One Percenters.
But you know what? Yeah. If they're giving,
that's right.
That's fine.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Coming up next weekend, it is the Cannabis World Congress Business Expo at the Hines. And we are joined this morning by Greg Marcos, who is the organizer of the cannabis, or we're going to be joined in just a second by him. Let me just, while we wait for him, let me just remind you that you can listen to WAAF on your Amazon Echo, and all you have to do is ask Alexa to play WAAF, and you will turn your smart speaker into a radio. So we learned yesterday that Alexa is now able to emotionally comfort you.
Yes.
When you're feeling down. So I don't know if you require emotional comfort or if you'll get that when you listen to WAF and Alexa won't have to help
Maybe.
You out. But you
I
should
don't
know
want
that.
It.
You
should,
Are you,
you
okay? Do you want me to turn on WAAF?
All right. Greg Marcos, the organizer of the Cannabis World Congress Business Expo at the Hines next weekend, joins us here on the Framingham Ford studio line. Framingham Ford is Metro West Commercial Truck Headquarters. Greg, good morning.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Tell us a little bit about the expo and a little bit about what those who attend might be expecting.
Well, the Cannabis World Congress and Business Exposition is headed to Boston next week at the Hines Convention Center. It's the second year in Boston. We've been producing shows now in other cities, New York and LA. Next year will be our sixth year. So next week, the Boston show is really shaping up to be a fantastic show, from local licensing topics to investment. It's an ongoing, evolving industry in the Northeast, the cannabis sector. So we're really excited about the content lineup we put together. Really exciting speakers.
So what you're saying is that this is one kind of meeting of Congress that we could all get behind. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it starts out, the show, we have workshops on Wednesday. And the workshops, we go from a full spectrum, right? So if it's someone thinking about getting into the cannabis business, kind of curious, right? We start out on with just workshops on Wednesday, opening a cannabis business by Cloverleaf University. And then we open up on Thursday, the expo hall, and the seminars continue. And then we roll into some really nice topics, whether it be investing, local licensing, new markets in New England, which is a very big topic. And then, some highlight keynoters. We have the former governor of Massachusetts, Bill Weld, who, as you know, is on the Acreage Holdings Board of Advisors.
Yeah.
He's on Friday, and he's given a fireside conversation moderated by Joel Dolce. And then to close it off on Saturday, we have Montel Williams, as well. So. But I think, from a content perspective, it's probably one of the best conference lineups we put together in all the years. And so we're excited about it.
Greg, what do you see as the biggest challenge to the cannabis industry moving forward from here, if you can be specific about Massachusetts or, even nationally?
Well, I don't pretend to be a specialist in every state, right? So, what I will tell you is, in my reading, it's all about education and inclusion, right? Mm-hmm. So we have two what I think in looking at in you know our seminar, in the seminars that we're producing, the relevant content is all about education and navigating the landmines of licensing. I think that's important. So Thursday we have some we have a topic and a track called local licensing, and that's something I think for all New Englanders to come and take that. But more importantly, I think on Friday, NIMBY, which is you know short for Not in My Backyard, navigating NIMBYism and stigma. These are thoughts from government leaders on how to approach the municipal process. And that's going to be done by Nicole LaChapelle, who's the mayor of East Hampton, Massachusetts. Mark Cusack, who's a Massachusetts state representative, joint chair committee on marijuana policy. Jay Humans, who's an attorney, principal of Smith, Costello, and Crawford Law Group. And Andrea Cabral, who's a CEO of Ascend and a former mayor, Massachusetts Secretary of Public Policy. So money's flowing into the industry, and I think in New England specifically, those two topics that I mentioned, I think they're very important, as well as we have others, you know, Northeast Cannabis Track we have, Cannabis in the Northeast. Those are really, really important educational things for people to come and take part of.
It's October 17th through the 20th at the Heinz Convention Center. Greg, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Sure. Are you going to be elected to the Cannabis Congress?
I hope so. I would gladly represent and serve the community. Mm-hmm.
That's my representative, Mark Hsu.
How come they're not voting? Oh, it's 420. Yeah, they're on break.
They don't work at 420.
Chill, man.
There's smoke coming from the State House. No.
Wrong signal. They didn't elect the Pope.
All right.
Well, hey, before we go, can I get a quick rando ding in?
Sure.
We're celebrating the birthday of a very special friend of the show this morning.
Oh.
And I believe you would most easily recognize him from this.
Chinese! Chinese, kid!
Happy birthday, Donnie.
Naughty Donnie.
Naughty Yay. Donnie.
The artist formerly known as Donnie Three Olives.
Correct.
Happy birthday.
Yes.
How old is he? 70?
36 again.
How much?
36 again.
He might be in his 40s, but he looks like he's in his 70s.
All right, let's calm down. I don't think any of us are in a position to judge.
A lot of sodium in that
I'm
diet.
Just kidding.
It's the MSG. It keeps him young. He's preserved.
We hope LB is back Monday. We don't want him to rush it. He had his heart procedure done, and we think he's getting out of the hospital today over at St. Elizabeth's. So thoughts and prayers to LB, and find out if he's back on Monday or not. We will be here, though. Go Sox! Go Patriots!
Go Sox!
Huge weekend for sports. Go Sox! Go Patriots! Go Bentley! Bentley's
yes,
got,
go Bentley.
Bentley has pace tomorrow.
All right, go Brewster.
1 o'clock over there. And if you missed anything this morning, you can hear it as a part of the full show podcast, which you can download anytime at WAAF.com. That's WAAF.com. Up next, the WAAF Workday Blitz and a $1,000 holler code word that you can text in to win $1,000 cash.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK. It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.